Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Welcome, Ken. It's always great to have you here. You're my favorite Monday columnist of all.
Good to be back. Thank you.
So let me start by asking you about the famous LCA show. This is a sort of journalistic ethics issue. The Legislative Correspondents Association, which has been around for a long, long time here in Albany.
113 years the show's been around.
The show's been around for 100. And they get together with the politicians once a year, and they allegedly make fun of each other. But one of the things that the Capitol watchers watch is who comes and who doesn't. Was Andrew Cuomo at this year's show?
He showed up for the cocktail hour, but he has yet to stay for the show in his 3 years as governor.
But there was one time when they showed a film.
Last year.
Tell us about that very infamous film.
He had a film that was introduced by his staff in which they poked fun at themselves. It was cute, a little strange at times, but definitely it got good reviews. And in recent years, because it used to be completely off the record, these dinners, but in recent years, really since Hillary Clinton did the show in 2000, they've been more or less on the record, and they have refused to release the video. I guess a couple of news outlets, not me, but others, had requested it through the Freedom of Information Act, and yet the video was never found.
But there was a little bit of a controversy because there had been a brouhaha, a flap, between Liz Benjamin, she wrote for the Daily News, and now has a wonderful blog, which was sort of must-read for a lot of people. And she got into a flap with the Cuomo administration, and shortly thereafter, out comes this film, which has some sexual innuendo in it. It was good-natured, but it was
basically, the film was they couldn't find the governor.
Right.
And part of it poked fun at a lot of LCAs, including myself. And that part was kind of funny. They were going to different rooms. And at one point they were shredding dossiers because at that time there was a report that they had a dossier on Liz Benjamin.
And then that was the big controversy when it was broken that they were keeping dossiers on some of us.
Right. So that was like, you know, they went into one room looking for the governor and you know, Rich Bamberger, who was the communications director at the time, is shredding all the reporter dossiers. But then at the end of the video, they go to the governor's mansion and you hear, I think the song was Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. And they like zoom up to the room and there's Andrew Cuomo sitting on a couch, nothing inappropriate, with Liz Benjamin. And, you know, the joke was because they had been warring that here they were.
You know, the innuendo was...
It was a little creepy.
And so they don't want that film being shown that they had prepared, showing that. It's probably not in their presidential interests or something like that?
No, I would assume that's it, although it was recorded by others, you know, I won't say, you know, with cell phones or with a camera. Yeah. So there is a bootleg copy of it circulating.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's
so funny. They have not given it out, but there are, if you search the web, the interweb, there are copies of it circulating.
Oh, that's very funny. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about the LCA show. I've been somewhat critical because you guys, the people in the press who put the show on, where does that money go?
It goes toward the show, the operating costs, and then if there's leftover, it has gone to charities over the years when we weren't in the red with it.
Some for the housekeeping function of the LCA?
Not so much really. It mostly, we pay dues. That goes to the, there's not a ton of cost for the LCA. But no, the money, whatever profit there is, either goes back toward the show the next year, covering that year's costs, or it goes to charity.
Ken Lovett, I hear that the New York Times doesn't send people to the Gridiron Show in Washington. Is that true here, too?
Yeah, they've actually, this was a couple of years ago, they stopped going to the Gridiron, and they stopped going to the Inner Circle in the city and this one.
And why do you think that is?
They feel, you know, that it's, an, I don't know if inappropriate, but they just don't want to do the appearance, I guess.
Well, and that,
you have to ask them.
Well, no, no, I would. If they talk to me, I would. But but I do have a question about that. Is there not the appearance, though, that when the journalists get together and they sell tickets for this kind of show, that there may be something that is either coercive or not healthy for these two groups to be getting together?
I understand the argument. In full candor, I made that argument when I first came to the LCA in a column with Ottawa News Service at the time, the now defunct Ottawa News Service. It didn't win me any friends at the time, but I don't think anyone is bought off by it. I don't think, you know, if someone comes or doesn't come to the show, that affects any type of coverage. But I understand the argument that, you know, it could look chummy or clubhouse atmosphere. But honestly, you know, it's a tradition. I think in retrospect, when I came back to Albany, I had left. I was here 4.5 years and I left and I came back at the time with the Post and I started doing the show. I think I appreciated the tradition more. I understand the other side. I've argued the other side. I think it's a good thing in the sense that it shows something good about this country where you can get up there in front of people of power and make fun of them.
And they of you.
And they of us. And it's, I don't think it affects anything. And I think, you know, it's a nice tradition that carries on from the past days.
Okay. So it's not to beat the horse that much more, but one little but one little observation, and that is that the press is always critical, for example, of lobbyists who eat lunch with politicians and say, you know, and when you ask the lobbyists, you say, or the legislator, they'll say, what do you think? People get bought off for lunch. There's an old tradition of doing that.
But the argument on that side is a lobbyist is looking for something out of a politician.
Well, you guys are, too. You want to make friends. You want
to
make sure that those
usually,
politicians
usually the
are
way
sources.
To make friends is not to mock them publicly.
Well, within a clubby sort of way. Okay, enough on this. I understand your position perfectly well. And because I want you to keep coming back here, that's enough. Okay, so now let me talk to you about the governor's programs. He's got public financing of campaigns, the women's equality agenda, the casinos upstate, the tax-free zones near SUNY schools, and all like that. As we sit here, and by the time people hear the show in some cities, we'll know the answer to these questions.
Okay.
Want to give me some odds on these programs? I'll take them one at a time.
Go one at a time.
Okay. Public financing of campaigns.
No. I don't see that happening. I don't think the governor sees that happening.
He says he wants it. Do you think he really wants it?
Good question. he certainly made it a key.
They want the issue more than he wants
it. He made it a key issue. But the reality is, in the state Senate, the way it's set up now with this unprecedented coalition between the Republicans and the four independent Democrats.
The renegade Democrats.
The Dean Skelos, the leader of the Republicans, or Jeff Klein, the leader of the renegade Democrats, each one can veto what comes to the floor. And Dean Skelos has said, I am not going to let that come to the floor. Mainly because there are two really big issues. One is that, and one is the women's agenda that the governor
has
proposed.
I want to go to the women's agenda, but I want to stay on this.
But what I was going to say is mainly the reason is, a big reason is the gun law that was passed in January. There was a lot of backlash from conservatives, the Republican base, on that law. And I think that they are wary of taking on additional progressive liberal issues for fear of alienating their base further. You know, this is a Republican conference that not only helped push the gun law through, but also allowed the same-sex marriage bill to come to the floor and pass. And we saw what happened to those four Republicans who voted in favor of same-sex
marriage.
They got primary. Three of them are gone. I think they recognize the And even more than same-sex marriage, this gun law has really come back to bite them. You know, it's been the governor's been highly criticized, and I think the Republicans are, pardon the pun, gun shy. And I don't think they're going to give the governor any more liberal victories.
Okay, Ken Lovett, I love having you here, and I love contesting with you. So let me just try to give you the Chartok Weltanschauung worldview about how this works. Okay, you have, as you perceptively pointed out just a minute ago, you have these guys, the four rogue Democrats, used to be five, but he's on his way to jail. The fifth is on his way to jail. And the issue here is that those guys are there, I believe, and you can contest with me on this, on Andrew Cuomo's sufferance. Because I think if Andrew Cuomo brings every one of those Democrats into a big room and says, cut it out, we got more Democrats than Republicans in the legislature right now, you're going to do what I have to say. And you, Skelos, because you won't go along with me, are out, 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 like an umpire saying out of the game. But I have another feeling about campaign financing. Andrew Cuomo has unlimited amounts of money to run with.
Shelley Silver, $22 million right now.
Shelley Silver has unlimited amounts of money to run with. These guys don't want Joe the Barber running for political office with state funds where they can screw everything up for them.
But the argument, too, is that I'm not even sure how good it would be because it's an opt-in situation. So really, the governor who has all this money wouldn't have to opt in. First of all, his bill wouldn't take effect until 2015, a year after his reelection,
right,
assuming he is reelected, after his reelection effort.
No, so, after his reelection.
And then you don't have to... And then you don't have to opt in anyway.
Yeah, but see, he doesn't have to opt in. His problem is that Joe the Barber may want to run, take the state funds, even though they're less than what he's got. He won't have an opt-in question, but he'll run, and it'll be a pain in the rear end.
Look, he didn't make it a top priority until this year. He's mentioned it since the campaign. The reality is he had a very big progressive issue this year. The liberal wing of the party, especially nationally, were really getting on him for not helping the Democrats capture the Senate. All of a sudden, I would argue that his first two State of the State addresses were really conservative with a few bones to the liberal side.
Sure.
This year in January, it flipped. It was a very liberal agenda with a few bones to the conservatives.
That's when he lost your rival, the New York Post. They went south.
Right.
They used to be supporters.
And I think, though, you know, there's no doubt that was looking at 2016. It was looking at the progressives.
2016 as in running for president.
Running for president.
Yeah.
At the time, he was still at 70%+ in the polls. And I think he realized that he had to shore up his left side of the party. I think that's why you saw proposals being strongly pushed this year, like campaign finance. Also, you know, he had a hammer over the Republicans for the first 2 years in redistricting. And he doesn't have that hammer anymore.
If he pulls all those Democrats in and says, you're going to take the Senate and have a revolution right now. And Jeff Klein, the leader of the, who seems somewhat prostitutional in the way that he's looking at things, you're all going to be in the Democratic conference, or I'm going to go out and campaign and find somebody to run against you.
He could do that. He hasn't done that.
Because he doesn't
and
want.
And I'm not sure how you could, I'll tell you something, especially with Klein, I'm not sure how you put it back together. Because Klein hates them,
and they hate him. The Democrats
and
hate him.
Klein is not going to go back unless he had a leadership position. They're not going to take him back and give him a leadership position.
That's a good point.
So I don't know how
that's
that
a
gets
good
put
point.
Together.
Nevertheless, Andrew Cuomo, when he goes to that convention, when he wants to be president, let's assume Hillary for some reason doesn't run and Andrew sees himself as a viable candidate and goes in there, they're going to say to him, how come you've been helping the Republicans stay in power in New York State?
Well, that's what he got hammered on last year.
Yeah.
Again, you know, MSNBC, you know, all these liberal bloggers. He's got union problems, you know, public union, worker union problems. So certainly that's what this year was
about.
He's
no favorite of the teachers, that's for sure.
The city teachers he is, though.
Yeah, you mean he's...
He cut a deal. He was very smart on that front. He cut a deal early with the mayor. Mayor Bloomberg had been pushing a last-in, first-out. Basically, he wanted to do away with last-in, first-out, so you didn't have to worry about tenure. And the governor really blocked that. Mm. And the thinking is, and the insiders say that he cut a deal with the UFT, the United Federation of Teachers in the city, that he would block that and they would go easy on him. And certainly that year that he did that, where he blocked that proposal, he put out a budget that really cut education spending, and UFT blamed the mayor. They didn't go after the governor. And they've been very close with this governor. If you notice, they did not attack him over the teacher evaluation push. He gave in.
Although the state people did.
State did, and they did not. He also gave them a big role in putting this thing together. He basically gave them veto power by saying that it had to be, you know, collectively bargained.
You mean the evaluation
yeah.
process.
So yeah. The UFT... You know, the teachers, they're okay with them. CSEA hates them. They're at war with them.
That's the civil service union.
And that's the largest state worker union,
yeah.
And they are going after him constantly on pretty much everything.
It's always wonderful to have Ken Lovett with us, the bureau chief of the New York Daily News in Albany and the guy who everybody looks to for analysis. And it's wonderful to hear about that. But I want to talk to you, as we said before, about the women's equality agenda. Now the governor comes out with another liberal plank. Tell us what's in that abortion part of that.
What he says it is, he says all it does is codify federal
Roe versus Wade.
Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
That the state law passed in 1970 before Roe v. Wade, and you know the state abortion laws in the criminal code. You know, it only allows for an abortion after 24 weeks of pregnancy if the mother's life is in jeopardy. The federal standard is if the mother's life or health is in jeopardy. It's a little lesser standard. So the Catholic conference, you know, Cardinal Dolan, the Conservative Party, the Evangelicals, the Republicans, all say that this is a way to expand abortion rights in New York. They say, you know, Dean Scalise says this will not make it to the floor either, that he's okay with some changes to 9 of the 10 planks of this women's agenda, but the abortion is a non-starter.
So what are some of the other planks that that Skelos, the Republican leader, might sign on?
There's pay equity, which we'll see exactly what changes there, because that's something the Republicans have always opposed, basically that women have to be paid the same as men for the same job. There is human trafficking, crackdown, tougher penalties on those who basically enslave women, kids for prostitution. You know, there's a whole slew of things.
What's going to happen?
Anti-sexual harassment policy. Mm-hmm. Well, the big question is, will the governor accept a deal that breaks off the abortion plank? Either put it up separately, you know, take it out and say, all right, they wouldn't pass it, but we can get these other 9. Or will he want the issue, and the Democrats want the issue for the election next year, and say, no, we won't accept 9 unless we get that 10th.
Didn't the Republicans look at the election returns and the Obama win and see that the Republicans had lost women, a lot of women? And don't they think that this is a signature issue, this abortion thing?
They feel two things. On the abortion issue, they feel it's a conjured up issue. They feel that
These are Republicans.
Yeah. That they feel that New York already has the most abortions, you know, in the country. The law is not in jeopardy of being repealed. Other states are toughening their abortion laws. They're making it more difficult. New York is nowhere near in jeopardy of that happening. And they argue that Roe v. Wade at this point is not in jeopardy of being, you know, they're saying at worst, they're saying it's an expansion of abortion rights. At best, it's an unnecessary bill because we already follow what's the federal law. That's their argument.
That's their argument.
Yep.
But doesn't it play negatively with women who see this as a very important plank?
It certainly could, but it doesn't play negatively with their base. And really,
with the
Republican base and the conservative base. And we saw what happened with same-sex marriage.
Yeah. People lost their seats in primary.
And they are terrified of that. They already, you know, they don't have a numeric majority in the Senate, and the only way to hold on to power is win races. If they are primaried, if Michael Long, the Conservative Party chair, says, you know what, you pass this abortion thing, we warned you, we're going to put up primaries. You know, a lot of these guys only won. A lot of people look at the races that were lost by the Republicans, almost 2 years ago, last year, saying that, well, they faced conservative challenges. But what people also forget is the Republicans won a bunch of races, especially on Long Island, because of conservative backing. So if the conservatives pull that backing, then the Republicans are in real jeopardy.
Very interesting. Tax-free zones. Now, that's very interesting. The governor wants to expand all the SUNY campuses around so that they bring in businesses with them and help upstate, which he knows is a critical part of his electoral issues when he runs for governor again. What are you doing for upstate? Now, there are people who are saying you got to do that for the downstate schools, the New York City schools, too, the CUNYs or the SUNYs in New York City. Does he like that?
Well, he actually, in the bill, he finally introduced the bill, so we got to see the specifics this year, and CUNY is involved. It's not a huge thing, but every borough in the city, all 5 boroughs, and then also in Westchester, Long Island, but every borough in New York City, a CUNY that is in the highest poverty area, a CUNY campus in the highest poverty area of that borough, will be eligible for this program.
But there's still an issue for a lot of people, and that is this. If you're going to say to anybody who works in that area, you don't have to pay state taxes. Somebody's got to pay those taxes. So if they're not paying them, Joe Q Public in the Barrel is paying them.
Well, I think there's 2 arguments against this program, 2 big ones. One is exactly that, that if you are bringing in more people, if this works as you say, that we're going to reach out, you're going to get companies that come in here from out of state that want to take advantage of this tax-free credit, tax-free zone, then they're going to demand more services. There's going to be demand for more schools, you know, more whatever, because you're bringing more people into the area if it works. But yet, they're not going to be paying the taxes. On top of that, you have a 2% property tax cap. So not only are you saying provide more services, but then you're limiting how much they can raise from taxes. And whatever taxes are raised are going to fall on those who are already in the area. And
so this, what happens? Does he get it?
Well,
or let not?
Me, and the second argument there is, what if you're a business that's already here and your employees are all paying taxes, and then a similar business relocates to this CUNY campus or SUNY campus, and they're not paying taxes? It immediately puts existing New York businesses at a competitive disadvantage, critics will say. That all said, I think he gets something on this.
We used to have something in Kent. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
Empire Zones.
Something called Empire Zones, and they didn't work.
No, they didn't, but I think he's been really criticized, especially on the fracking issue, which is controversial, that for doing nothing about the upstate economy. I think this is, you know, he's taking a lot of heat. He's running for re-election next year. I think it's something he wants to get done. I think he did something like 11 press conferences around the state within a week on this. So obviously it's a priority at the end of the legislative session. He'll get something on this. It may not be exactly as he wrote it, but he will get something on this, is my bet.
So the general feeling is that he'll get a good deal of what he wants, because these people, whether they're the Republicans or the Democrats, sort of have to go along with him.
I don't think so as much. No, because I, like I said, I don't think he's going to get public financing. I don't think he's going to get...
But I'm not even sure he wants public financing.
But it's a loss for him if he doesn't, because whether he wants it or not, he made it a top priority in his state of the state. He's pushed for it. He's held press conferences on it. So I think he doesn't get that. I don't think he gets the abortion plank, another big issue for him.
Yeah.
And I don't think... this I think he'll get, and I think he'll get gambling.
Okay. Oh, and the gambling.
I think he'll get that.
He'll have to give some way there and give some gambling in New York City, where he said he only wanted it upstate, right? Okay.
Maybe. I don't know, because Shelley Silver isn't exactly, the Assembly Speaker, isn't exactly a fan of casinos in the city.
I'm glad you raised Shelley Silver. We got a minute and 34 seconds. you know, there's the Vito Lopez thing, who, for those who have been on Mars, you know, was accused of sexual indiscretions. He's been fined a great deal of money by the State Ethics Commission. So does Shelley Silver get sucked into the undertow and lose his seat as Speaker?
I think it's still up in the air. I think this is the biggest challenge he's had since Mike Bragman tried to take him out. I think this is even more serious. I think if this lawsuit explodes and there's more allegations, if they end up paying out $1 million, I think that's a problem for him. If the lawmakers go home in their districts, especially
paying out $1 million to pay off the women who accused...
Yeah, to settle this lawsuit.
Yes, right.
I think if the marginal Democrats, especially from upstate, go home and they're pressed by their editorial boards, the press...
Sure.
And let's not forget, too, a lot of these guys are newer members. He's lost a lot of senior members. So that loyalty that had been built up isn't there anymore.
Okay, if not him, who comes next?
That's the question. Names that we've heard is people like Keith Wright, Carl Heastie out of the Bronx, Joe Morelli from Rochester, although that's unlikely just because he's upstate.
Yeah.
He's very talented.
Sure.
If you're looking for a short-term someone just to fill until a long-term person, you've got Joe Lentol from Brooklyn, the Codes Committee Chair.
Yeah,
but there's no one heir apparent, and that works in Shelley's favor, and he's made it that way.
Hey, it worked for Franklin Roosevelt. I suppose it works for him. Listen, Ken Lovett, we love having you on the show. I absolutely insist on a promise you'll come back and be with us again.
Absolutely.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.